We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're here. I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody? A couple days late, but right on time if you're counting. Welcome back, the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here. Andreas Hale back from his little tour of California. Hope you enjoyed it with the fam, Dre. It's nice to have you back. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, even though not too much is happening this weekend in combat sports aside from Parker and Joshua. But yeah, it feels like we still got a lot of crap to talk about.
It's a big preview weekend because next weekend we're swamped.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Next weekend, everything happens. So we're going to get a lot of the hypotheticals, a lot of our opinions, all that stuff out this weekend. Because I feel like next weekend it's going to be prediction. Shit, WrestleMania has 13 matches. And that's just one of the things we have to do next weekend. So we're going to touch on a little bit of everything. We have some of our Twitter followers that asked us to discuss things on this show that we'll touch on here in a second. One thing I want to start out with is because it is Friday, we're recording the show a little later. We got like the whole week's worth of information. We got the whole news cycle to pick from. And one thing that really just caught my eye today, and I haven't been able to dive really deep into it, but some of the details circulating around Twitter are kind of disturbing. Fabulous, allegedly knocked out his girlfriend, Emily B. Two teeth out, gave her like 7 punches. for what people are saying, just being in LA without him knowing. The details, I'm sure, will come out shortly because you can't hide something like this. But he's a prominent figure in hip-hop. I mean, damn, he's been around since, what, 2000? Everyone's followed him. He's been a nice guy. He makes girl songs. It's surprising and shocking to see this come to light, especially with someone they've been very public in a relationship, loving hip-hop, all this stuff. It was bananas to see. And those details are like, yo, you knocked her teeth out? Those are real.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's really touchy when you go on this allegedly stuff. And I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm not saying that it is true. Nobody knows what happened with those two right now. It's not like the Rihanna Chris Brown thing with photo surface. So we don't really have a whole lot to go off of. But if it's true, I mean, come on, man. I mean, he's been with Emily B for like ever, and more than 10 years, I believe. Yeah, 10 years is about right.
At least. Their kid is like 8 or 9.
Yeah, so it's like, come on, man. Like, really? Punching women in the face like that? If that's the case, then that's what it is. I just really hate, I mean, as with everything, even police shootings, everything, trial by media. I just really hate that things go to Twitter so fast that people start, you know, handing down verdicts and we don't even have the real details. You catch wind of something. Like, there's a whole debate on Twitter where people really don't understand the meaning of allegedly. They just think, like, somebody says allegedly means they did it. No, it just means I'm alleging that you did something. That doesn't mean it's fact or fiction. It's just these are charges. They said he went in and possibly had posted bail the same day and was let right back out, or he turned himself in and posted bail. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but that whole situation is a mess, man. And I mean, hopefully it's not true, but, you know, if she's filing charges and he's punching women in the face, I mean, it sucks. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, once again, the allegedly has to, you know, it's alleged right now. So we're talking all hypotheticals. But we've been very, very hard on these young whippersnappers that come out that do a lot of dumb shit. You know, the XXX extension cord kid, Tanahashi 69, whatever the hell it is. All these little young wild dudes, and they have very public cases and dumb shit on their record. And we were kind of, you know, very, oh, back in our day, like, because it's true, like, you know, we rapped about guns and selling drugs, but people weren't wilding out and some of the shit that we see today. But then this comes to light. It comes to a bigger issue of, is there a problem in hip hop in general right now, in hip hop culture? Like, do we see, is there a shift? Like, and it comes with social media. It comes with, you know, more access and so on and so forth. But it seems like there's a lot of shit going on as far as domestic violence, sexual abuse. As that has become a bigger story nationally, it seems like that shit's just running rampant in hip-hop.
I mean, two things. One, domestic violence in hip-hop and music in general is nothing new. It's just we have social media and more ways for people to see it. There's really no difference than Kool G Rap beating up women and R. Kelly still doing what he does to women. Like, I mean, old dudes do the same thing. Rick James tied bitches up in the cellars. Like, the shit is, it's Ike Turner beat the shit out of Tina Turner, made a movie out of it. So, it's true. I mean,
only thing that came to my mind was Dr. Dre slapping D. Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, you got Dr. Dre slapping D. Barnes. Obviously, Michelle accused Dr. Dre of beating the hell out of her. I mean, these are nothing new. These accusations are nothing new. And now it's just a new brand of rappers, Famous Dex and... he called him extension cord. God damn. But it's not new. It's just happening more frequently in terms of being visible in social media, and these stories are disseminated more. But the thing is, like, even now, they're like non-stories. Is the thing that's crazy to me, because Famous Dex beat up a woman on security in a hotel, like a hotel security camera, and people got over that shit real quick. Your boy extension cord put out an album that just went number one.
Heard that shit is dope, by the way. I gotta listen to it.
I haven't listened to it
yet. Kaz says it's dope. I thought Kaz was crazy, and he was just sipping the sauce before Mania Weekend. But, yeah, I'm gonna give it a listen.
I mean, I'm gonna give it a listen, but I can't support Kaz like that. You know what I'm saying? It's really hard. But, you know, in Fabulous's case, you know, I'd be a hypocrite if I bought Fabulous's music, and then, you know, I was dissing Famous Dex. You know, the bottom line is this has always been a problem in music in general. Obviously, hip hop is, you know, the roots that we come from, the tree that we're born from. But, you know, men have been beating up women for years in music. And there's nothing new.
That's sad, but true. I mean, Chris Brown's still selling out. I saw someone buy his tickets yesterday.
Like, people get over shit real quick. If they think, and the thing is, I mean, the fucked up thing is, there's a lot of people who aren't talented that are beating up women and still getting over. Like, that's the crazy thing to me. Like, if you're semi-talented, then there's, even though it's still wrong, I can see you being like, I still like his music. But there's people making trash music still getting over beating up women. That's crazy to me. But it's all crazy to me. I mean, domestic violence is ridiculous as it is, especially in the, you know, we have the Me Too movement going on. Like, come on, guys, keep your hands to yourself. I mean, shit, Floyd Mayweather made a whole career of beating up men and women. And he's 50-0, and he's the highest paid athlete in the world.
That's true. I almost forgot about Floyd. How are we on a combat sports story and I don't remember Floyd hit women?
I mean, Diego Corrales used to hit his woman. Like, there's a lot of athletes that are involved in the domestic. And it sucks because one bad apple does spoil the bunch, because then it looks like, you know, this misogynistic art form that depreciates women. It's kind of true. It's to some degree, it's kind of true, but it sucks. Again, it sucks. I hope Fabulous wouldn't be that stupid, but anger takes over and these cats do dumb shit.
Yeah, a lot of people were stupid before him, I guess. He's just the latest to be stupid. And like you said, that the most troubling thing is that it doesn't necessarily derail your career anymore.
Nah, man.
It's a blip on the radar.
It never really did. Like, people didn't stop buying Rick James's music. You know what I'm saying? Like, people didn't stop buying. Like, it never, like, Chris Brown. I mean, the Chris Brown situation is 10 years ago now. 10 years. Still going strong.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really, like, the devalidation of women as people. It's like we devalue them like animals. Like, you could probably kick a dog and more people be pissed off at you than kicking your woman in the stomach.
Yo, that's real. I mean, we see that in a lot of aspects of.
Yo, they'd be like, "Yo, you can't do that to that dog," but that woman right there, she deserved it. She must have did something. Like, what? I mean, I see lines like that on social media all the time. She must have did something to deserve that.
That's all I saw today on my timeline. Like, oh, he finally caught her cheating, or why was she in LA and not telling him? She must have been cheating. I was like, who cares about the backstory? Like, wait, what's the difference? She lost the two front teeth. She walking around like Cesaro.
Man,
like, what are you talking about? You can't. The backstory doesn't matter if this is what actually happened. And yo, it's the wrong way to risk it all when you're rich. Like, there should never be that much anger. I'm a grown ass man and never been that angry in my life, and I have a horrible temper.
Right.
In which to punch a woman in the face. I punch a dude in the face. You know, worst comes to worst. But I mean, I've never been that angry. It's never even crossed my mind. And one of the narratives I saw is like, yo, it's crazy that this comes out because domestic violence usually is something that isn't a one case scenario. Like, there's something behind this. And then they kind of, you know, delved into, like, I wonder if Fab's been hitting her for a while.
Possibly.
And she stays. I was like, yo, that's crazy. Because, yeah, like, I've, you know, talked about tons of shit on this podcast. I've never in my lifetime have experienced domestic violence around anyone next to me, which is crazy because I know so many people who have. I've never seen it. And thankfully, my mom's had like four boyfriends. I've never seen her in a shitty relationship. I've never put my hands on my two women that I've been with. So to see this and to see it, like, yo, there is really an underlying problem. And it's a problem, I guess, that catches me because I don't understand it. Because I've never seen it, like, firsthand. So when people are like, yo, no, he probably hit her before. Or no, you know, the alleged thing is like, yeah, but if you don't try to hit a woman, the alleged thing is never there. Because there's court documents. People are saying it's an arrest report. I handle arrest reports all damn day. Like, if you get details out of an arrest report, you know, usually in the smoke, there's fire. If it goes that far.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up a little different. I grew up all around domestic violence. So it's like, it's usually one of those things where it peaks. It's usually somebody got fed up. at a certain point. These aren't one-off situations. I've never seen a domestic dispute that turned violent that was, this was the first time this shit has ever happened. It's usually like the fifth or sixth, seventh, eighth. It becomes a really routine. So, I mean, again, I don't want to toss around accusations on Fabulous because I don't know the man, but usually this is the point where it's just gone too far. Like it's happened before. I even think somebody I'm sure will correct me, but I even believe Rihanna in an interview has mentioned, you know, her and Chris Brown have put hands on each other before. I know Rihanna says she put hands on Chris Brown before, but I don't know how far the extent was. So it's usually, it just boils over. So again, man, these things are nothing new. They're sad. It's unfortunate. People living in the spotlight, young people, but the fact that there's no disciplinary action, you know, which we'll talk about disciplinary action when it comes to Canelo later. But the fact that there's no disciplinary action for beating up women is problematic because you can continue your career and people, even women, will forgive you for beating up another woman because they'd be like, shit, it ain't me.
Yeah, Floyd got 8 girlfriends right now. And he did time for that shit.
It's wild.
Money is the greatest eraser in the world, it seems like. It's that fucking flashy thing for Men in Black. Because it's like, yeah, well, wasn't me. Let's keep moving. The check going clear. And, oh, yeah, like I said, we'll find out more about this. We'll find out if it's true, if it's not true. If it's not true, that's horrible because you're already kind of guilty in the eye of the public anyway. And that's definitely the time we live in. Like, you Google his name from now until 2030, you're going to see domestic violence, whether that shit's true or not. So he's kind of caught in the web. So we'll see what comes out of it. That situation was bananas. Another thing in hip-hop, which is vastly different, a little bit lighter note, Cardi B dropped a new single. And talking about women and kind of their value, this one touches on that subject, but in a very different way. This is like, oh, yo, I'm a hurt woman, stop cheating on me, I'm about to make this anthem. And it kind of fell short of that.
I like
Cardi B. I liked her mixtapes. Very few songs to me Cardi B has made in her entire catalog are whack. I'm not feeling this. I like the verses. I'm not feeling the song.
Yeah. Yo, people was like, you don't like the song?
No, I don't like the song.
Listen, there's a difference between, like, oh, being honest with your life and putting it out there and being whack. Like, yo, I appreciate it. Look, you and Offset got issues. Who didn't see that shit coming? It happens. You want to rap about it, but the song is mad corny. And people will be like, yo, but she bled her heart. That doesn't mean shit can be whack. There are painters who paint, and there are athletes who play, and they play their heart out, but they still suck. This song sucks.
It doesn't suck.
It's not. I mean, okay. You know what it sounds like? And I said this on Twitter last night. It sounds like a song that another cast member from Love & Hip Hop would have made.
Yes. Yeah. It definitely... And not one of the good cast members. It sounds like that, the little blonde lady. The little blonde chick who's always wilding out and trying to fight.
It sounds like if Cardi B came out with that song first, before Bodak Yellow, we wouldn't be paying attention. Cardi B still be on Love & Hip Hop right now.
It's just, it missed in key areas. The song has potential. The beat's not like a knocker like her other ones, but... It would have changed a lot, even if the words were similar on the hook, but someone else sang the hook.
Yeah, the hook is bad.
I don't mind the verses at all. If you get that hook with someone who can actually sing, and let's say you obviously, she's a cash cow for them. They put a ton of money behind her already. If you get like one of the female artists who are hot, you get SZA to sing about heartbreak on a Cardi B track and sing those same words, that's just probably... 10 times better. Cardi just can't sing. It's not even like Nicki Minaj status where there's so much editing and so much production that goes behind it that you can kind of stomach when she sings. Even though Nicki Minaj is still horrible. That, how could you do this? Like, that shit's whack. But she was yodeling and not in a good Alanis Morissette way. It falls short. It falls bad. And they should have just ponied up the dough and have someone sing the hook.
It felt rushed. It felt like one of those things where this is like the problem with having like studio equipment in your house. Like when you're able to record in your house off of like Fruity Loops and MacBook and a microphone, shit like this happens. Like there's no A&R that comes in and was like, hey, no, don't do that. That's whack. Stop. There's nobody to do that. She was like, I'm going to put this out. And they were just like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And she put it out. and it's not good. But, you know.
It'll people, get the radio play. They'll put the money behind it.
Dude, it's fine. The album comes out next week. I'm reviewing it for Billboard. So, hey. Yeah, I'll get a chance to see what this Cardi B album is all about. But
do you still get it in advance to do reviews or no? How does this work in 2018?
You know, I'm like a lot of the albums that I've reviewed recently, I got in advance. And I've had them for a long time. You know, like Rapsody's album and a few other people's albums. I've had them for like months in advance. Cardi's, I'm not sure because I just got hit about it today. They was like, hey, throw you a curveball. Because I just interviewed DJ Premier for the Moment of Truth, 20th anniversary. It was like, let's go on a different wavelength here. How about you review Cardi B? And I was like, okay. So, yeah, I'm going to review it. So I'm not sure. It's an initiative that we got at Billboard. We review a lot of the new artists that are coming out the album of the week. So we'll see. I'm sure that I'll probably have an advance, but it'll probably be like a 48-hour advance. It'll probably be a leak. I don't know. Not the same thing, man. It's not like when a journalist 10 years ago, I used to have, you know, the promotional CD with the sticker on the shit with my name watermarked on the bitch. It's not like that anymore. Yeah. Everybody gets it at the same time.
Occasionally, every minute in the song goes, for promotional use only.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, yo, let me rock this. I don't care. I used to bump that shit in the car anyway. Promotional use only all through the song.
Yeah, it was like, yo, if you had a promotional use only album, you were like dope. They was like, yo, how did you get that?
Everyone thought that was fire. I tell people to this day, I had Ready to Die. Or not Ready to Die. Was it Ready to Die? I had one of the, I mean, no, it was Life After Death. I had the promotional use only album 6 months before it dropped. And I had that shit in the barbecue. It's 8 months. It was the end of the summer barbecue. And I had it, and it was only 8 tracks on it at that time. And I remember the R. Kelly joint was on there, and the shit said for promotional use only, like throughout the hook. And I'll be damned if we didn't play that 9 times in a row at the barbecue to end the summer, because that shit was still dope. And Notorious Thug, Sky's the Limit, the R. Kelly joint. And people were like, oh my God. And they were losing their shit, Hypnotized before anyone heard it. And yeah, I was like, yo, really? I was like, nah, yeah, it's normal. I guess that shit wasn't normal. And I thought it was fucked up because of promotional use only. But I remember that shit was dope. I miss those days. I miss it. I had a Goody Mob like CD on promotional use only. It was like my first Down South CD.
Yeah, see, good old days.
Good old days, man. I'll take 2005 when we had to bootleg shit. Like, at least that was fun. I had to scour Napster and shit for stuff. Man, I miss those days. It's getting nostalgic here. So, going from Cardi B, who it's odd that you're reviewing that, but you're going to listen to it with a real musician's ear, so I can't wait to read that, to another artist who's has a little bit more depth and success than Cardi B, and that's Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino. So we're on Twitter, and you were having a conversation with one of our listeners, and they wanted you to talk about Gambino and where does he stand in the pantheon of people who are well-rounded in hip-hop?
I mean, look, man. There are... When Childish Gambino first came out... All right, let me tell you a story. I always got a story. the ending sucks, but...
So, that's one hell of a way to preface the story, by the way.
So, I was going to the South by Southwest, I want to say 2011, 10, I don't know, one of those years. And Freaks and Geeks had just came out, I believe, his first EP. And I knew who he was. And I was at South by Southwest, and I was on the red carpet for the Woody Awards. And, you know, I was out there, it was me, Shake, and Mecca from Two Dope Boys. I think it was the same weekend that Shake and Mecca hosted an event, and Kanye West showed up. And it was random as shit.
Is that where you guys broke the floor and people fell through the floor of a mansion?
No, that was a different party. I'll tell that story another time. Okay. Yeah, that was when we had the dope house party. It was in like Mecca and a bunch of people DJ, and we'd have free liquor, and it was really ridiculous. It was one of the craziest parties for South by Southwest. No, but this was just a show. I can't remember who all performed, but Kanye just showed up and he was backstage, and we were all like looking at him and shit, like, what the fuck are you doing here? But he was there. But that same weekend, we went to the MTV U Woody Awards, and he's on the red carpet, and, like, nobody's talking to him. And I'm like, yo, I just heard your EP. Shit is dope. And he's like, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And we're, like, talking. I don't really have my recorder on. And when we were done talking, he was like, take down my phone number. You should hit me up, man. I got a bunch of music I want to play for you. And this is the day of BlackBerry. This is how you know this shit's old. So I have my BlackBerry, and I'm typing his name, you know, Donald Glover. And, I, you know, he's like, yeah, yeah, here's my number. So I forgot to hit save, and I accidentally hit delete, so I lost the phone number. So I don't have this phone number anymore. really sad because I really wanted to hear what else he had. But the thing about him is...
You probably missed out on listening to Camp early and shit. Camp probably, is so fire.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, and it was like, we talked for like 20 minutes. And then, like, there was somebody was like, can you go down the red carpet, please? He was like, nah, man, I'm sitting there talking. but looking at his talent as an artist, I mean, with as a singer, as a writer, as an actor, as a comedian... The only person that comes to mind is maybe Jamie Foxx. Maybe.
Oh, you're not even putting Will. Will got to be there.
Yeah, but see, like, okay, so here's
for his day. I mean, I'm not talking like Will-Anium Will.
I know what you're saying. Like, but the difference is, like, Donald Glover writes Atlanta, right? Like, that's a whole nother level of artistry that, you know, they're not even. Jamie Foxx is the Jamie Foxx show where I'm sure he helped with the jokes. But Donald Glover writes Atlanta. Donald Glover does stand up. Like Jamie Foxx did stand up. Donald Glover acts. Donald Glover has, like, he has two entirely different albums. Like, Awaken My Love is some other shit. That's some Andre 3000 shit right there.
Yeah.
But he has not truly failed at anything that he's done. And that's the crazy thing. Like, and that's why I kind of compare him to Jamie Foxx, because people are like, Jamie Foxx was a singer? Get the fuck out of here. And his album's actually dope.
But nah, Jamie Foxx was dope as a singer.
Yeah, but I can't recall Jamie Foxx writing a show. And then when the, you know, that whole FX thing where you're supposed to do the Deadpool animated series, people said he was too busy, and he threw up that entire script. And I obsess over screenwriting and scripts. I love reading them. Like, I had the Hateful Eight script early, and I read it. The entire thing driving back from South by Southwest, I made my brother-in-law drive, and I read it in my passenger in the car. Sundance, actually. But so I've read the entire Deadpool thing, and I'm like, yo, this is good. It's like, he doesn't fail. I don't know too many people that are that talented. When he first came out, I was like, he's like the dirtier version of Drake. Like, that's how I used to picture him. Like,
yeah.
Drake was this very crispy, clean, like, radio-ready. And Donald Glover was like some Basquiat artiste type shit. But now it's like he's mainstream. Like, Atlanta's, I've missed the last like two episodes that I've been traveling. But, yo, that show is phenomenal. It looks at the industry in ways that people don't really know. And people laugh at it for different reasons. Like, there are things, the episode where the dude's standing on the table at the record label.
Yo, I remember when you guys were talking about that in the group chat, I was like, yo, that shit, that it really happens. That's hilarious.
It's real. Like, it happened to me. Like, when I was at BET, people just come in and stand on the table and perform. Like, fuck are you doing? Like, this is stupid. Like, sit down. but they really do that. Like, so it's a side of the industry that people don't see. But I say all that to say this. I don't think there is anybody right now as talented in all these art forms as Donald Glover. I can't even really find a peer. Jamie Foxx would be the closest.
Yeah. But I mean, in this state, like, day and age, in this age bracket, it's hard to find competition. I mean, the closest now, like currently, and it's a whole different level, obviously. I would say it's Tyler, the Creator, is the closest to being that well-rounded. Because Loiter Squad is hilarious.
Yeah.
As a show. It's obviously written by him and the Odd Future Kids.
Yeah.
Musically, he has different tones. He has a whole different note. And he is a good rapper to me. Like, when Tyler wants to get busy... Listen, we didn't listen to Eminem for lyrical content either. But when Tyler wants to get busy, Tyler can get busy.
Speak for yourself on Eminem. I did listen for lyrical content.
But I mean, M, even when he did some of his whacker shit, he could still put together words and the flow and everything else was still on point. So we're like, ah, okay, this is still kind of dope. Like those fucking BET ciphers, he's still talking about random stupid shit, but you'd be like, oh, wait, you see how he paired this and that? You'd be like, all right, that's dope. And Tyler has a lot of that in him. But Tyler is as close as I think you get today. And I would even say over Drake to that multifaceted artist.
Dude, it's just really like...
I'm not sure Drake can act still. Can Drake act? He wasn't great on Degrassi. Like, let's be real. Motherfucker, you know, Jimmy in a wheelchair.
But that's my thing. It's like, you know, Donald Glover's on Mystery Man. Donald Glover wrote on 30 Rock. I mean, come on, man. This man has been nominated for...
He was hilarious on Community.
Like, who's been nominated for a Grammy and a Golden Globe? Like, it doesn't really happen.
Did he win the Golden Globe?
Somebody's got to answer this.
Yeah. I thought he won that shit for Atlanta.
I believe he did. I believe he won that for writing, actually. I believe he wrote that for writing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, his stand-up.
Yes, he had an acceptance speech. He won.
Oh, yeah.
He thanked Migos.
Yeah, the Migos is the Beatles of the generation, which is fucking ridiculous. But he said that. but it's like anybody that you name, I'm like, yo, did they have a stand-up? Like, he had Weirdo, and Weirdo was funny. Like, the guy's he's just a different level of artist. He's a very special talent. And it's crazy because he's so special, but I still don't think he gets his due.
Like, he's still vastly underrated, right?
Yeah, like people like him and enjoy him, or they'll like Awaken My Love, or they'll like Atlanta, or they like it a lot. But when you put the totality, when you put all those things together, you don't find artists doing like stuff like that. Like, that's a true artist. He's good at everything he touches. He does not fail.
He won a Grammy too. Thought he was just nominated. He won Best Traditional R&B Performance for Redbone.
Okay, well.
So he now has two of the three. And if the special effects on this Star Wars joint is really dope, and if it wasn't coming up against Avengers, it would probably win that too.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, the kid's super talented. I mean, I call him a kid. He's like 30-something. But, yo, he's unbelievable. And Atlanta is one of the most unique and special shows I've seen on television. It's just really good, man. So... Yeah, shout out. I'm sorry, man. Like, you're going to hit me on Twitter and be like, shout me out. And I'm like, yo, I wasn't even looking at my Twitter to remember your handle. But appreciate the question, brother. And now we can talk about what we came here to talk about. We spent all this other time talking about everything else.
Yes, combat sports. We're not even going to get into the nitty-gritty. Like we said, right? There's only like one fight to really break down and dive into. We got to start with Tainted Beef. And that's Canelo versus Triple G. It's starting to look funny in the light. Last week, we're like, nah, too much money. Fuck it. It's going to happen. No way they cancel this. Now we're kind of like, it's not looking too good for Canelo.
Oh, it's getting canceled. It's over.
the full refunds made it look pretty bad.
Well, when Bob Bennett, and I'm going to send Bob Bennett a text about to get a full statement, but he's giving a full statement, so I'm sure he's going to give me what he gave everybody else. Once you skip the hearing process to hear the other side and you go straight to the disciplinary hearing on April 18th, which is 3 weeks before the fight, it's over. There's no fight. He's getting suspended. The only question now is whether it's going to be 6 months or a year. That's it.
Well, it's crazy because they would say, like, if he proved that his levels weren't insanely high and this happens a lot with the tainted meat, you don't have to hear their side, right? Because there's precedent.
Well, the problem with this is, like I said before in like the group chats, or people have asked me on Twitter, if it was a little bit and there was some precedent, like there had to be something during the investigation that made Bob Bennett say, these are higher than, you know, excuse me, I took a, you know, bite of bad lamb or whatever the fuck he was eating. But
Don't disrespect the cows, bro. It's cow's meat.
But if the levels are there and... Look, man, there's so many things here because people are like, yo, it's not fair. You know, it's a simple mistake. There's two sides of this. One, if you're Canelo Alvarez and your team knows that you live in an area where you could have tainted beef, and I know people would be like, that's really douchey of you to say, but you got the money. Fly your beef in.
Yeah, because it's surely going to cost you a lot of money.
Right.
To fuck up.
What is going to cost you for not spending the extra money to get a steak from somewhere else? Is far more than it's going to cost you, you know, now that you're not having this fight. And I mean, this is a big deal, man. And it sucks because fans were looking forward to it, but people are going to get over this shit. Now, I'm about to explain how this actually works in Canelo's favor in a minute, which is crazy. But there's a silver lining. Yeah, there's a huge silver lining in this.
Triple G can't fight him. Like, at this point, Triple G as a fighter, as soon as he popped, I thought Triple G should... You know, just draw the line in the sand. Either it's 50-50 money-wise, or we're not fighting. I can't fight you for anything less. Because at this point, you know, purposeful or not, you are tainted. You do have something in your system that is illegal. And we're in a sport where one punch, shit, we saw him almost kill Amir Khan. Like, one punch can do you in. And we saw in the first fight, they're trading blows, and Triple G somehow withstands all that shit. And Canelo, if he's even a little bit stronger, changes the whole dynamic of the fight. So you can't go out there, you can't put that L on the line if it's just not straight up. And I think that's where we're at now. And Triple G said he still wants to fight. We'll see if that is even possible with the hearing being pushed back to a disciplinary hearing. Like, who's going to take Triple G in 3 weeks?
Bubo Andrade would. There's a couple of guys actually. There's a guy. There's a super middleweight. There's a middleweight fighting on the Friday card, and his name is O'Sullivan. I think his name is. He's fighting on the Friday before that fight on the Golden Boy card, and they could move him up to just get beat up.
Right? And people were like, talking about Jacobs because he's scheduled to fight like the week before. Like, just can't finish it. Hell no.
It took
2 months to bulk up last time.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be Jacobs. Like, Jacobs not taking that fight on short notice. There's so many things here because Golovkin, yes, of course, he wants to fight. He wants to stay on the card. Canelo, what Canelo's team would need to do, and this article is going up on Boxing Scene Saturday, so if you're listening to this after you read it, you'd be like, I already heard him say that shit. Well, here it is. What Canelo needs to do, and Kevin only kind of outlined this as well, is basically accept the disciplinary action as like it's inevitable. There's really no reason to preach my side. Mm-hmm. Say, I fucked up, I'm sorry, and I'm pulling out of the fight to give them enough time to find a replacement. You can do that in good faith. And you can say it was a mistake, but if you keep fighting it, it makes you look worse. And it makes you look worse to the fans because fans are holding out. There's fans that are like, yo, maybe they'll get away with it. I already bought my flights. Like, there are fans. But if you do it now, it is March 30th, in 30 days in advance, and you say, I'm pulling out of the fight, you know, either way, accidentally, whatever, the rules are the rules, and I broke the rules. I may not agree with them, but this is what I'm going to do in good faith. Because you're getting suspended anyway. Why fight it? So if you do that, you can come back. And you have people on your side to be like, oh, you treated Canelo wrong. Or you like, you may have fans on your side, like people on John Jones' side. And this guy's a known addict. Like, people still love John Jones. But if you're Canelo and you say, yo, I've never popped. You know, this is something that happened. I'll take better care of myself. I will make sure my team doesn't, you know, subject me to tainted meat. I'll move my training camp. Whatever you got to do to say, but pull out of the fight now. Don't waste anybody else's time. It's unnecessary. Like, if Triple G wants to fight, let that man fight.
Yep. I agree. I mean, one for one, if he pulls out now, says, you guys have your decision already. Just give me the decision. 6 months, if he pulls out now and they levy the decision, 6 months puts him in line for the September 13th weekend that he always fights on. September 15th would be almost 6 months to the day for his suspension. So, your next date, you're clear to fight anyway, right? And time is on your side against Golovkin. He is much older. He will break down, theoretically, before the 28, 29-year-old Canelo Alvarez. So the later you fight him, the older he is, the better it is for you anyway. So his chances grow even more by waiting just 6 months. Or... Lord, what if he has to take a fight against someone else in September and they try to do this next May? It's a full year older Golovkin is. It only plays better to him.
Yeah.
The earlier you fight Golovkin, the more of a chance you're taking.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you've hit the nail right on the head. The time is on Canelo's side. He's not even going to be 30 yet. Like, this fight could happen next year. And then people would be like, oh, I'm not going to watch it. Yes, you are. You waited 6 years for Mayweather Pacquiao. And then, you know, even if you say, well, Golovkin could lose. Well, Pacquiao lost. He got knocked silly. He's still a meme to this day. And Pacquiao, Mayweather still broke every boxing record in the book. So, yeah, you'll wait. You can wait another year for this. I don't want to wait for another year for it. But, you know, you will still want to see his fight. Nothing's going to change.
I argue that they should have took fights against other people anyway. And then came back. I didn't like the immediate back-to-back.
I mean, I liked it for what it was because you want to settle the differences. But, yeah, I mean, the business of boxing is very, people forgive. If again, if you waited all this time for Mayweather Pacquiao, you can wait another 12 months for Canelo and Triple G. You'll get over it because you're still going to pay to see the fight. That's not going to be a fight that you'd be like, man, I'm not going to see that. Because the biggest thing here, the fight was fucking good. Like more than anything good as hell. Else.
That's only the, they'll just run the promo package again and everyone will be bought right back in.
Yeah, like the fight was excellent. And, you know, in some places it was fight of the year. So it's like you'll wait to see it again because there's no doubt it's still going to be a great fight. But for Canelo, it's like, yo, I'm just getting better. And Golovkin, you know, he's reaching that. Most fighters start deteriorating after 35.
Yeah, everyone besides Hopkins.
Right, and he's an alien. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, but even Bernard Hopkins, you know, I mean, he fought a different pace. He's a different type of fighter. Golovkin doesn't fight a style that's conducive to him aging. Yeah. Like, guys who fight like Roy Jones didn't fight a style that was conducive to his aging. Like, when you rely on reflexes, Golovkin, he'll just bowl over people. Eventually, that catches up with you. So if you're Canelo, you'd be like, that's what I'm saying. Step aside. Let him fight some bum. Yo, let him go fight Billy Joe Saunders in September, and I'll fight somebody else. We'll do like a doubleheader pay-per-view or some shit like that to build the hype. So now we have all the belts on the line. Because Billy Joe Saunders can't run forever. Pay that man what he wants to get knocked out. Now Golovkin's got all the belts, and we fight next May. Well, Triple G's older now. So you have a better chance to win. I still am not sure if he's going to win, but, yo, from where I was standing at like 2-3 years ago when I said Canelo doesn't have a shot in hell to him getting better, and I still think he's going to lose to Triple G. But next year, I'm going like, damn, this is getting close.
It changes a lot. What if, you know, Billy Joe Saunders clips Triple G? We that see him. Right. I'm just saying, like, what if we see chinks in the armor? It only helps the narrative. What's crazy is this only helps the narrative. You have two guys who aren't phenomenal speakers who in the first fight you had to sell it off of someone's getting knocked out, right? That was the whole selling point for the first fight. Guess what? No one got knocked out. So where's the narrative for this fight? Hey, come watch this again. It's the same people who watched the first one. This now builds intrigue. This gives you a storyline. This paints Canelo as Triple G's. They run this back September, next May. Triple G's going to say he cheated.
Yeah.
He was juicing. This is why I'm going to beat him. This is why I'm going to knock him out. And it makes Canelo the heel. So he has a monster fan base already built in that will always look at him like the savior. And then to the rest of the world, he would be the heel and the bad cheater. You couldn't hope for anything better than that. You gave a pretty bland fighter in Canelo a very good gimmick off of eating some fucked up beef. Yeah, so this is a perfect storm for them.
Yep. Everything works out. It sucks for me. I wanted to see this fight in May. It sucks for us because we're going to be ringside for it. But I'll live. I'm good.
Yeah. As long as Triple G still fights, I'm fine. Listen, I'll watch the squash match. I'm perfectly fine with that. Let me see him just KO someone in 3 rounds. Big drama show. I'm with it. Talking about fights that we may have to wait for, you're serving it up on a platter. Anthony Joshua fights this weekend. Obviously, we don't got to wait for this. But a lot rides on this, and we may have to wait a little longer for Wilder versus Joshua, depending on the outcome of this fight. First, though, Joshua Parker. I want to say it's his toughest test to date, but I don't want to shit on Vladimir Klitschko.
I mean, Joseph Parker's undefeated. He's a hell of a fighter. He's got a great chin. This is really his
toughest
fight.
Yeah, his toughest fight to date. I mean, Klitschko was, you know, Klitschko, he lost just right before then, you know? So it was a whole different dynamic to that. I'd say Joshua, this is his riskiest fight to date. Because you're so close to the money fight. We're hearing all this buildup of Dana White, 500 mil, blah, blah, blah. By the way, the Dana White curse is real if Joshua gets flattened. No one ever again will get their stamp put on by Dana White. Because it is official that he is a jinx if Joshua loses his fight. But yeah, there's just so much hype, so much riding on this fight. And it's crazy to see if that pressure gets to him. And I'm talking about Olympian, which is ridiculous. And talking about if he crumbles under pressure. But there is a lot of pressure. This puts him in a whole different tax bracket. You can become the face of boxing. Because outside of Floyd Mayweather, nothing pays like heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, Joshua came in lighter than he's coming in 6 years, I think, when he weighed in today.
Yeah, and we saw the same thing out of Wilder's last fight. Yeah. I don't know why. I got to start asking people. My next round of interviews is going to be like, yo, why is everyone getting so fit?
Yeah, that's a good question. But, you know, I guess Joshua wants to be light, smaller, I mean, a little bit faster. He was pretty bulky against Klitschko because Klitschko's a huge guy. He's got some size on Joseph Parker. Joseph Parker is not as big as Joshua, but this will be a test. And if he passes with flying colors, because, I mean, obviously the comparative here is the Luis Ortiz and Deontay Wilder fight, because that was a fight that Deontay Wilder had no business winning. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, dog, you should have lost.
Like, but the fact that he never touched a canvas is incredible.
Right, yeah, it's remarkable. But if Joshua comes in here and just washes Joseph Parker, then it's like, I mean, no matter what happens, as long as he wins, the narrative is thick and it's built for a huge fight in 2019. They ain't fighting this year. It's 2019.
See, but I hate that waiting. So then they got to fight again and hope to win again?
They won't hope to win. They'll win again. They'll probably take a couple softball fights and then they'll look at Vegas.
There's only so many Staverns.
Yeah, well, you'll find you'll find somebody. There's Dominic Brazier. There's a few guys out there that could just come in there and get knocked out. I mean, you got a who just fought this weekend? Jesus Christ, why can't I remember? Who knocked out Dana White?
You're going to fuck around and you get like a Tyson Fury coming back.
Yo.
Talking shit. Like, there's trap fights within there if you fuck around and wait too long.
Yeah, I mean, there are trap fights. Oh, my
God. Tyson Fury might just not be hit.
Listen,
and
real quick.
Bore the hell out of Joshua.
Your boy Keith Thurman just injured his left hand. His May fight may be off.
Oh, one time. One time. Yo, he ain't never fighting. He's taking those belts to the grave, Drake.
Jesus.
He ain't never fighting Errol Spence. Ever. Anyway. Talk about waiting. Yo, just wake me up in 2019. Can we just wash boxing in 2018? Let's just do it. Just redo everything. 2019. After such a good 2017. So.
Yeah, so the guy I was thinking of was Dillon White, who knocked out Lucas Brown over the weekend with a beautiful right hand. Lucas Brown's a guy who could step in and fight one of these guys. So the point is that just like I was mentioning with Canelo and Triple G, we can wait for Wilder Joshua. It's a little different with heavyweights, though, because one punch can truly change everything. But I figured that these two will end up fighting in 2019, probably maybe in Vegas. But yeah, people can wait. It's just,
it has
you know,
to be in Vegas.
Doesn't then, have to be.
It has to be. To be a that marquee name in heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, just New York just doing all the shit. I get it. Like, you need to fight here because you get paid more money. You know, pay state taxes. That's why you got to fight in Vegas.
That helps. Yeah. Helps a ton. But the history, the lineage, like, could you imagine that? Like, there's very few stages bigger than heavyweight boxing. I thought the first Stavern Wilder fight was surprisingly big the night of. I was like, yo, celebrities came out? Like, hip-hop heads, all this shit. I was like, where did all these people start caring about boxing? They just cared about heavyweight boxing.
They care about heavyweights. Heavyweights is where the money goes. Yep.
So, and that was in the old MGM, all this stuff. You put that in T-Mobile? Come on. And if it is 2019, cool. You get the first one. Let them run it back. I've been itching for a stadium show. Wait until that Raider Stadium opens up. We will get boxing in Raider Stadium.
I hate stadiums, but yeah. Anyway, I get what you're saying. Dog, like, I don't want to go to a fight in the stadium.
You're on the floor anyway. What does it matter to you?
Because it's wide open.
you're like three rows back.
Yeah, but I just don't like stadiums. Like, I don't like stadiums for WrestleMania. I don't like open air arenas. More than anything else, I hate open air arenas because you can't capture sound like you can in like a dome. Like, there's a big difference. Like, if you go back and look at WrestleMania, for instance, WrestleMania 31, the pop when Seth Rollins cashes in was deafening, but you couldn't really hear it because an open air stadium, like, all the sound just travels up.
Yeah.
When you're in a closed arena, everything stays in there and you can feel it. Like, if Floyd Mayweather, like, I always talk about the Mayweather.
I'm pretty sure we have a roof, by the way. I saw the sketches the other day.
I don't know how to contain sound. And I don't know, man. I'm not big on, like, the whole stadium experience. I just put it. Anyway, moving on.
Dre likes an intimate setting. He likes to set the mood.
I like all my performance. Like when I go to concerts, when I go to anything, I like it in smaller arenas because I like the intimacy of that. When it's so big and it's just like the nosebleeds, I don't even understand why people go. At a certain point, I'm like, why are you here? You can watch the shit at home if you're going to sit up in the top of the thing and have to watch the TV anyway.
Oh, you're going to catch Dre at UFC Fight Week this July with a nice Merlot ringside, couple candles lit. Some ambiance. That's how he's going to start enjoying fights. Third row. very intimate for his knockouts.
Yeah.
No, man. That's crazy. That's the world of boxing. Anything in UFC? I don't think anything came out through UFC.
I mean, we'll talk about Khabib and Tony next week, but I missed their conference call, but I heard it was madness on that conference call.
Yeah. I mean, there was like 4 questions asked.
Yeah, other than that, like, the UFC is very much like so. Yeah.
Like, Connor's training again.
I don't care.
Everybody cares.
I don't care.
Connor announces a return fight, the world explodes.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't care. Like, right now, there's nothing to care about. TJ and DJ aren't fighting. I knew that was happening. I knew Dana was never ponying up the cash for Demetrius Johnson.
It's ridiculous. It only takes $1 million. The man made it clear what it takes.
Eh, he's not going to pay him. So, like, UFC's, again, like, yo, this has been truly the lightest month of MMA in combat sports, like, in a long time. There's only been 2 fights in the month of, in March. 2 UFC cards. And we had...
We went to one, right? I'm not bugging, right? There was one here. I don't know. I think we had Shake Shack.
Was that March?
Yeah. The March one was here, yo.
I'm not entirely sure.
Chris Cyborg, she saved it.
That was March? That was the beginning of March. And then there was like 1-2 weeks after that, and it hasn't been anything since.
Damn, I can't believe we forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't even know. Cyborg, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so we kick off April, right, with, what was that, 224? I don't remember.
223.
Whatever. Either way, we can talk about that next week. Because that's a fully loaded card on our fully loaded show. We need to start like renaming, like, you know, how they used to do UFC back in the day. Be like UFC to the death or some shit like that. Now it's just like UFC, like Vera versus somebody. Like, who cares? I like that. Like,
the Corner Podcast, too much shit to talk about.
Yeah, like, yeah, fully loaded. You're going to die. Like, something like that.
Only if we bring back the old school, like, art, too.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, we got to get like someone like a Photoshop specialist to bring back the old school art. All right, well, that means it's time to talk wrestling, which is always fun. We're not delving into the X's and O's, per se, of wrestling this week. We're going to do all that shit next week. And to my account, there's Lucha Underground versus Impact, which we're not going to touch on, really. But that's going down next week. We have ROH. Next weekend as well, with Cody versus Kenny Omega, finally. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. Then we have NXT TakeOver the same night next weekend. And we have WrestleMania, of course. Plus the Raw after Mania, but we can't really talk about that. Those more reviews. A ton of shit to cover next weekend. And mind you, we're going to boxing because we're going to be at the Lara fight.
Yeah, I just talked to Jared Hurd this week. And they just added Sergio Mora versus Alfredo Angulo. And it's on the untelevised portion of the card.
Oh, that's a good-ass fight, though.
It's a very interesting fight. Angulo's kind of washed, but so is Sergio Mora. So 2 washed guys get in there. They used to spar together.
Yeah, okay. I like Angulo as the gatekeeper because it's always going to be blows thrown. He's never just going to sit back and wait. He's perfect in that role. Hey, I like that fight. I guess we got to get there a little early next week.
So, yeah, we have boxing. But, you know, here's where we should start this week. Because the only thing that matters to me this week is New Japan. We just had Strong Style Evolved.
Yep.
And this weekend is Sakura Genesis. And Zack Sabre Jr. is challenging for the title against Okada. But we should talk about Strong Style Evolved first.
And we saw, listen, there were good matches on the card. I thought Hangman had his best match, Hangman Page. Versus Switchblade?
Yeah, Jay White.
Versus Jay White? That was a good-ass match. Jay White's best match so far to me, too. Really enjoyed that. But it was all about the main event. 5 stars homie. And it seems like Kenny Omega, every time he rolls out of bed, gets 5 stars. And this one was well-deserved, though. I'm not going to rip Meltzer for this one. I loved this tag team match.
Yeah, and I mean, it. Look, first of all,
are you going to give it a 4.5? Are you going to really do this? Well, like, are you?
Let me be clear. The rest of the show was trash.
You didn't like the Hangman Page?
Didn't really care for it. And it's not even because I'm not even going to blame the wrestlers for it. Because even though there were too many tag team matches on there, the production was terrible.
Oh, yeah. It was hard to watch.
And Jim Ross and Josh Barnett did a terrible job on commentary. So it was just, from that perspective, like, the production value of the show was awful. Not having Mysterio on the card also sucked, even though we got Will Ospreay.
Ospreay match wasn't bad either.
Yeah, it was cool. But I'm just saying, like, overall, like, at a certain point, I was just like, yo, this is dragging. Can we get to the main event, please? That main event definitely delivered. And I have to say this first, because nobody knows me personally here, but like, my father is a he's not an advocate of wrestling. He hates wrestling. So I was watching Strong Style Evolve at his house, and he was at work. And the main event was on, and I'm like, into it. I'm like, yeah, this is great. And I'm watching it, and my wife had went to see Black Panther finally. And my nephew was doing something else, and my pops walks in, and this is at the spot where right before Omega gets after the Young Bucks put Omega through the table. My pops walks in, and this the match is crescendoing. Like, everything's picking up. My pops walks in, and he goes, "You still watch this shit?" And for the next, like, 10, 15 minutes, he just starts railing against pro wrestling. He's like, "You watch this as a kid? This is so dumb. Why are you watching this shit?" And he's, you know how difficult it is to watch what you enjoy when your pops is like, when somebody's in the room and just completely is shitting on what you're just watching?
Cutting that shit down.
So I have to watch the match again. But from what I saw, and I mean, I watched it all, but it wasn't like I had to keep talking to him like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, come on, man. Like, I get it. You don't like pro wrestling. You don't understand why I grew up loving pro wrestling. But from what I saw, that match was, if it wasn't a 5-star match, it was a 4.75. I mean, there was just crazy. It was great storytelling with Kenny Omega not knowing what he wants to, how to handle the Young Bucks, with Ibushi like, yo, you're my guy, but fuck this, I'm beating these guys up. Like, the Young Bucks have no love for Ibushi. Ibushi has really no love for the Bucks. But then you have Omega in the middle, and the way the match played out was phenomenal. So
yeah, it was the tease of the one wing angel where he couldn't do it. And then I think it was Matt. It's just like, get it done, and he puts his arm up there, makes him do the one wing angel. That shit's crazy.
Yeah, that was, I mean, storytelling. Like, this is another big middle finger to everybody who says Young Bucks can't tell a story.
Yeah, which I always argued. In New Japan, they tell fine stories. They're spot monkeys.
Yeah, they are completely like
PWG, they're really spot monkeys.
Based on where you watch the Young Bucks wrestle, they acclimate their style to the promotion they're wrestling for. Yeah. In New Japan, they tell stories. In PWG, they just go balls to the wall. And ROH is just like a hybrid between the two, but it's a little bit more of the PWG style. But New Japan, these guys can tell a great story. And this was a fantastic match with great storytelling.
Yep.
From what I, again, disclaimer, from what I saw, my dad wouldn't shut the fuck up. But
no, it was. Yeah, you definitely got to watch it again, because the ending, yeah, so many, like, you know, near falls and just the story being told and the conflict on their end, and finally ending with the golden trigger where Kenny Omega is like, okay, it is about me and Ibushi, and they're finally going to win. To Cody coming out, it was well done. Then shit took a turn for the weird, because I don't know where Cody's fitting in on this. I'm really starting to worry that we're getting an NWO Wolfpack style shit, which is something I do not need.
Well, I'll be completely honest. I worry too. And I trust, like, I've been very trusting of Gato's booking, his long-term booking and his vision. Because even when AJ Styles was gone, I was like, yo, what are they going to do when they've got Kenny Omega? And I was like, oh, much better. So it was like, I trust Gato's booking. And I think a lot of stuff is going to hinge on Supercard of Honor and how that match plays out with Cody and Kenny Omega. But until then, I think we just got to kind of ride it out. Because if there is, like, a second Bullet Club, then it's just dumb.
And there's a new logo that Cody is promising.
See, I just feel like Cody's going to get kicked to the curb. I just feel like Cody's out.
But I feel like Hangman is there with him. I think it's weird. I feel like he's putting together a second Bullet Club.
But it might not be the Bullet Club. You know, it could be something where they all turn on Cody. Because Cody's really been the douchey guy.
Yeah.
Ultimately. He's played his role very well as the guy that, you know, he's kind of the leader, but not really. And it's like, well, whose side are you on? And even with this match with the Bucks and Kenny, it's like you kind of see, like, well, there's some certain respect there. It's just a matter of who's going to be running Bullet Club once Cody's gone.
See, and then that's the key. Like, it's I would trust it if it was just New Japan produced. The fact that this is playing out through ROH and New Japan, and before the rosters with Bullet Club were kind of split. Like, there wasn't too much integration right there. It was like, okay, we had Tama Tonga and all these guys, and that was the, New Japan style one. And then we kind of had the Young Bucks here in America. Repping a Bullet Club, and that was pretty much the extent of it. Now the bleeding over of the Bullet Club, it makes it, it's convoluted, and I'm hoping that the storyline is one and it's smooth, but I don't get that sense. I feel like the shit they do in ROH is so much different than the stuff they do in New Japan. You just saw Gorilla as a Destiny. Like, what the hell are they doing?
I'm sure there's a collaboration here. I mean, ultimately, they're putting on a great match. The story will probably be completed in New Japan. But whatever it is, I'm trusting of the process, and I'll stand idle and just wait for it to play out.
Yeah. I mean, worst comes to worst. They can't botch it as bad as WWE botches shit, so.
Well, no, they can't. And, yo, mad people are going to be like, yo, you're in New Japan, Mark. Oh, WWE is great. Look at this WrestleMania card. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But come on, guys. You know WWE fucks up, like, every story.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on.
They'll get, I give them credit. They get a couple right.
By accident.
Yeah,
like, but Ciampa they and Gargano's an accident, but.
They fuck up a lot. I'm not going to say that's an accident. NXT is its own entity, Dre. Do not shit on NXT. They don't mess up storylines. They had Velveteen Dream and fucking Aleister Black just crescendo to the perfect mark.
I mean, NXT's done well. We'll talk about all that in a minute. Let's talk about the Sakura Genesis card really quick. Because, yeah, we have this Young Bucks versus Chase Owens and Yujihiro Takahashi match, which is people are like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
But, No one knows.
You got the Hangman Page and Cody versus Omega Nobushi match, which should be pretty good. But obviously everybody's tuning in for the main event, which is Kazuchika Okada and Zack Sabre Jr. Of course, anybody who listens to the show knows we love New Japan. We just haven't talked about it a whole lot, but Sabre Jr. won the New Japan World Cup by submitting everybody in his path, including Tanahashi and Tetsuya Naito and Kota Ibushi. It's a pretty murderer's row lineup of a tournament, and you submit all three of those guys. But nobody expects him to beat Okada.
No, no one at all. Which would be great if he did. I like super heel Zack Sabre Jr. Never really got that until he came to New Japan, and then now he's even turned it up more.
Yeah, I mean, being
like
part of...
He's ultimate Suzuki British Goon. Asshole right now.
Yeah, being part of Suzuki-Goon has helped. I mean, they needed to bring him out a little bit more because, you know, Minoru Suzuki's... Yes, he's getting older, but you need a new face of Suzuki-Goon, and I think Zack Sabre Jr. is that guy. Being a douchebag really helps him because, you know, he was, like, super babyface when I first saw him in, like, PWG.
Yeah.
And then he turned heel and he reteamed with Marty Scurll to form the Leaders of New School. And I was like, yo, he's a really good heel. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to be Okada, but I think they've just built another main event player who can make a big difference in G1 this year by having him win this tournament and submit everybody. It's not by accident. He's not going away. He's a major player now.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan. Like, I liked his run, but to me, his run was just to lose. So you just built someone up for Okada to feud with for a little while. But no, if they sustain the character and he sustains it, and it could really, you know, grow into something. I think you pointed at that last week. I was like, I don't really see it. But even in a week's time, like the shit they've done online, the promos, everything else, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of into it now.
Yeah, like, I mean, him showing up at PWG and then saying, oh, Zack Sabre Jr. would like to remind you that he won. Like, he's being, like, the ultimate douchebag right now.
Yeah. And sometimes I think a heel losing a title match does a lot more for their character in the long run.
Yeah, look, every story doesn't have to end with somebody holding the title up, like the guy that you want to hold the title up. Like, heels can lose matches to become even better. So
yeah.
I'll be very interested in this match with Okada. And it's what I'm looking forward to the most. Thank God this is next week. I wouldn't be able to take it. My head would explode.
That'd be crazy. And he has a lot of William Regal in him right now in the character, like old school Regal. I like.
Yeah, that. He's like a skinny
Regal. Yeah, like that. That pompous, like the way he walks now. It reminds me of that old school Regal, where he had the robe, not the man's man Regal, but like you know where you just look at him and be like, yo, this guy's a dick.
Yeah. He's got a lot of that going on.
And Ospreay versus Skrulls on this card.
Well, yeah, I was about to say the sleeper match that is Ospreay versus Skrulls. Skrulls in a very interesting spot because I think he's got to win one of the matches in the next 7 days. Either he beats Ospreay to become the new junior heavyweight champion, or he beats Dalton Castle to become the heavyweight champion in ROH. I don't think he can lose both. I think he's got to win one of them.
Yeah, you got to throw the man a bone somewhere.
So which one does he win?
He beats Dalton Castle. I'm all for Dalton Castle being champion. I thought that shit was cool. But no one's done anything to elevate that championship since Jay Lethal. It's just blah. And to me, that's why the promotion right now is blah. We had a great time at the show, obviously. The matches are good. But there's no reason to invest in it. There's no storyline like we have in New Japan. New Japan got 4 storylines better than anything ROH got. It's the same damn talent.
That's true, but I don't think you take the title off of Dalton Castle.
I understand, but he's not. For so long, people said he's a character that doesn't need the title, right? That's what they always said. Yeah. He's one of those guys, the character itself lends itself to not need a title. And then I was like, no, throw him a bone. Dalton Castle is amazing. He's great. He hasn't added anything to the title, and it hasn't added anything to him. They tried to have the title give him like this mean streak, so he wrestles a little bit more stiff. And he's just, he has that, like, I snap type of moment. But he couldn't do that shit without the belt. And he hasn't elevated the belt to any new length. So I think Marty Skrull is a guy who can elevate the belt.
I'm going to disagree with you there. And the reason why I disagree, because it's not Dalton Castle's fault, it's the booking. It's the booking between Final Battle to now hasn't been very good. And I think Dalton Castle, the longer he holds the title, the more he can elevate it. Because I think it hurts him more if he loses the title now than him never winning the title at all. If that makes any sense. He got it. He just beat Jay Lethal in an excellent match. Him versus Skrull at Supercard of Honor is like it's not the focus of the ROH show. And that's more than anything else. I feel like if Skrull's going to win the title, it needs to be on a bigger stage where he's the main event. Everything is being overshadowed by Cody and Kenny Omega. So I figure Dalton Castle retains, and you probably extend that feud out a little bit more. And if you want to make a title switch later, maybe you do it in that manner. But I don't think you just take it off of Dalton Castle.
So you're saying Skrull is beating Ospreay?
I'm saying I can see.
You said Skrull he has to win Ospreay. One.
So. I feel like, but here's my thing. I feel like he should win one, but I wouldn't be surprised if he lost both. Like I wouldn't be like it wouldn't be heartbreaking that he lost both, but I feel like he should win. He's got 2 title fights, 1 junior heavyweight and 1 heavyweight title fight, 7 days apart. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, winning the first kind of takes some shine off the second, unless he's trying to be the belt collector.
Like Austin Aries, Austin Aries is going to collect everybody's belts.
He's winning, by the way.
He at should that be. Show.
And that's a great gimmick for Aries. He just won another title on Impact, I believe.
Jesus.
He won the heavyweight title. Like he's up to 5. He's about to be a 6 here in a second. So that's a dope ass gimmick. That's our quick little trip around the Indies and overseas. So let's talk about WWE, your favorite wrestling promotion. We're building up to Mania Weekend, Dre. Are you excited? 1 to 10. How excited are you right now? Just for Mania.
NXT for Mania.
NXT excluded. Raw after Mania excluded, just Mania.
It's like a 6 because I don't miss WrestleMania because we talked about this extensively in the group chat. I haven't missed a WrestleMania in like 30 years. Like I think I may have missed one when I didn't have like pay per view and I found a way to watch it on tape VHS later. But I never miss WrestleMania. I never miss them at all. Like I don't go extended periods of time without watching WWE. People be like, yo, you hate it, but I'm like, yo, I hate love it. Like it's like somebody you're married to for a long time, and my wife will hear this and be like, what? But
I was gonna say you're going in a rude path with this.
But it's like you wake up and be like, yo, I'm still with you. I hate your guts, but I love you. But like, we've been together for so long, but there's some days where I just don't like you. And WWE is like very much that with me. And right now it's in a place where it's like, you could really do right by me, but I'm just waiting for you to fuck this up. Like, so I'm excited.
And you're only excited still because New Japan is your side chick.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Say what it is, Dre.
No. Nah,
you've been married to WWE for 30 years, but for the past 10, New Japan is your side chick. And she's doing everything the main isn't doing anymore. She's busting it open. She's cooking you breakfast. That's New Japan right now for you. It's okay. And that's why you're happy at home.
Yeah, well, you might be.
Everyone was upset in 2006. 2008, people couldn't stand wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, you might be.
Come back, everybody got a side chick. The indies is the side chick. Then everyone's very happy now. We get our cake and we get to eat it too.
Yeah, so ultimately, like, I look at the WrestleMania card. For one, adding Rusev to the U.S. title match made that so much more interesting. Because now I'm like, yo, I want to see this.
I want him to win.
Me too.
Late edition and all. Like, if he doesn't win, I'm going to be upset.
But they looked at Rusev and like, yo, he's so over. And he can't just be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Like, exactly. He needs to do something important.
You saw the two matches against Nakamura. You're like, yo, he's really turning it up.
But he's always been good. Like, Rusev has always been really good at what he does. But anyway, this WrestleMania card is overloaded. I'm looking forward to the fact that that we're going to be watching it. And I won't be wallowing in misery by myself, if that's the case.
Yo, by the time Mania starts, we're going to be on hour 8 of wrestling? 7?
Maybe. Duh, it's yo, there is no sport. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. There is no sporting event that the day of their biggest event, even Mayweather Pacquiao, nothing is longer than what we're about to experience with WrestleMania next week.
Nope.
Like, Mayweather Pacquiao, even like for most boxing fans who watch the pay-per-view, it's like, oh, I dedicated my 3 hours. Or UFC fans, you dedicate maybe 5 hours if you watch the prelims. Like, boxing fans, if you show up early, you're there for like 7 hours, right? But even that, in comparison to WWE, the pre-show, WWE, the WrestleMania itself, like, it's shaping up to be like an 8-hour show. Plus, because we have boxing, we're going to end up watching NXT. Plus, probably on the other TV, we'll be on ROH. This is like a whole full day of wrestling. Like, this is longer than a full-time job watching wrestling.
Word. By the way, I'm bringing groceries over to your crib. Like, I'm coming over for breakfast. I still can't, you know, do any of the carbs. I'm not taking it as a cheat day, even though I want Giordano's pizza, but fuck it. Whatever. No cheat day for me. I'm bringing food over. I'm cooking breakfast. We're going to have the eggs. I don't know if you guys do the turkey sausage, whatever. And listen, I'm going to cook it up in the kitchen while we watch wrestling, and then we'll figure out what to order for lunch and dinner. So I shall be chefing it up. I'm going to be drunk too, so I can't cook lunch or dinner.
Yo, it's a legit full day. Like, I've become like a really, like, people know, like, I drink Macallan. I'm big on like Jack. And when I'm on my diet too. So I drink Jack and Diet Coke. But then this Not Your Father's, like, root beer, cream soda. Like, man, I bought a whole case of this shit.
Oh, it's bomb. I got to try that.
Man, listen.
You got the Hendrix on deck, though? I've been on the Hendrix heavy.
Yeah, man. Of course. I bought it at Costco. I got the big bottle.
I like it. You're a man of great taste, but also frugal at the same time.
Dog, I go to Costco and buy everything. Like, everything's gigantic at Costco, and I buy everything there. Like, I bought my bottle of Macallan. It was like an $80 bottle for like $40. But say that to say this. It's a long day of wrestling. I am looking forward to watching it and experiencing it. I'm not putting my bar too high, so I don't want to be let down. So if I put my bar low where it's easy enough for, you know, somebody to jump over, maybe I'll be wowed by it. But right now, I'm looking at the card. I'm like, yo, this is a lot of fucking wrestling.
I understand where your bar is, but you understand we're going to be upset. By the time we did the same thing last year, where we had to watch New Japan. No, we had to watch NXT beforehand, and then it was a constant build in NXT, right? So the matches go from good, better, and it got to that crescendo point, and then it was like, boom, into the pre-show. And we're like, fuck. And we just, like, really never recovered. And I think the best match last year was, what, AJ versus Shane? It was the opener?
Yeah.
And then it just never picked back up. So by the time the main event came, we're like, man, fuck this. We were drunk. We were tired. We're like, yo, did we stay this whole time for this shit? And it's that same thing where it's going to be even worse with ROH on now.
Yeah,
it's I mean, it's constant. We're going to see the best wrestling in our first 3 hours and then hope for something as good.
Like, I mean, I'm really hoping Nakamura and Styles just blows us away. I'm really hoping it gets the time to blow us away.
I think it could, but is it going to really be? Is it going to be better than Kenny and Kota, or excuse me, Kenny and Cody? I don't know. I mean, I don't have a huge amount of faith in Cody as in ring, but I mean, fucking Kenny Omega. So that's probably going to be better, or equally as good. Gargano Ciampa storyline and everything. They have so much to go up against.
Yeah, dude, it's hard. It's a lot. Like I said last week, like, any of you bastards want to try to spoil this thing for me on my timeline, I'm muting all of you. Like, I'm not, I'm not checking anything Saturday night.
No.
Because I, like, even while UFC, because I'm going to have Fight Pass on, even while I'm not checking nothing.
I'm just firing off tweets, not looking at any responses. Yeah.
Blind, like, yo, I'm shooting blindly into the air. Like, I don't care. Because I need to watch all this. I can't have anything spoiled. Because NXT, even with that the newly added ladder match with Ricochet in there and EC3 and Lars, like, yo.
NXT, Adam Cole, that's a dream match.
Yeah, like yo, if...
Fucking Damo or Killian Dane, whatever.
The fact that we... This is very telling of how little faith we have in WWE, because we would go, man, this match would never happen in WWE like a year or two ago. And now it's happening in WWE, and we're like, how are they going to fuck this up? Like, that's immediately our first instinct to say, man, how are they going to... Like, Nakamura and Styles, when they wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom, we were like, damn, that was great. Imagine if they did that shit in WrestleMania. Now they're doing that at WrestleMania, we're like, man, how are they going to fuck this up? Yep. That's all we keep thinking.
I liked the build last week. It seems like a little bit too
late.
That
was good.
Like, I just wanted them to do this for the past 4 weeks.
Exactly.
Like, why do you save it to 1 week before your biggest card? But that was great. Knock and the way he's teasing him. And, oh, man, the fake Kinshasa into just rubbing his head. Like, it's building. It's just a little too late.
The charisma of Nakamura is coming out a little too late. This, again, it's becoming... Remember last week I said this? I wanted to look eerily reminiscent of Stone Cold versus The Rock at WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, and you called it. And you're like, just tease the finishers.
That's all you got. Like, dog, that's all you got to do. When you have two ultra white hot baby faces, you have them tease each other. Because obviously this week Styles is going to tease the Phenomenal Forearm of the Styles Clash. But if they could have done this for weeks...
If Styles hits him with a Kinshasa and fucking Corey Graves loses it, amazing.
Yeah, there are better ways to build these matches than they have been. Just I'm hoping that the in-ring is better than the storytelling outside of the ring.
Yeah. They can't control the storytelling outside the ring. They really can't. They're kind of at the mercy of the agents.
Right.
In the ring, they control a lot more. And I think we're going to see near falls, finishers, reversals. We're going to see them build on the match they had at New Japan.
I hope so.
And I can't wait. That's going to be fun as hell. Injuries kind of reared their head. Mania. Red Dragon, we have an injury to Bobby Fish. So I don't know where the tag team titles will go at this point. Shane McMahon is rumored to be injured. We'll see if he shows. Which could change the Daniel Bryan match. We might see Team Hell No. Which I don't need to see Kane. He puts a real big damper on that. I understand the nostalgia of it.
Look, Shane McMahon is wrestling. The reticulitis, herniated disc, it doesn't matter. He's wrestling.
Okay. The Brock Lesnar will not hold out Shane McMahon. AJ Styles is a little banged up, but he'll be fine. Charlotte, dental surgery. Asuka might ache. Listen, if I was going to fight Asuka, I'll probably get dental surgery first, too. Like, you know, tighten all this shit up. Because she's coming with crazy strikes. I'm interested in that match because the build has, once again, it's just been, I look at you, you look at me, we going to get it on. I wonder how these two women are going to work chemistry-wise.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte's great, but is she Sasha? And we saw the match Sasha and Asuka put on, and that was just for a Raw. So it's like, how do they work? Charlotte's tall. It's a whole different dynamic. It has to work differently. So I'm interested to see how that match goes, too. Let's go real quick, though. Fuck, we're just talking about random stuff. Mania weekend predictions. So don't go too far into it. But match of the weekend, if you had to pick. Thursday through Sunday, match of the weekend.
Jesus. man, this is tough. I don't know, man. I have to go through every damn card because I feel like the match of the weekend is going to happen at like WrestleCon or some shit like that. Like somebody's
okay. We can't pick some shit we can't even see though.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's maybe Joey Janela's Spring Breaker. Like yeah, somebody's.
No. When we went to Dallas, my match of the weekend, I saw Ricochet versus Ricochet versus Zack Sabre Jr. And they had like this weird like UK versus US tournament, and that match was incredible. I also saw Ricochet versus Ospreay. Ricochet Ospreay 1 was in Dallas. And I was like two rows back chilling with Moose. And we're losing our fucking mind.
Yeah. See, so if we just take ROH, Lucha versus Impact, NXT, and WrestleMania.
Yeah. I feel like Justin Ivey, who you guys know because he's been on the show before. I feel like he would have picked something from Impact. Like a Pentagon Jr. match or something.
Yeah, he's like the resident Impact spokesman. But I'm going to say that the match of the weekend, out of all these damn matches, I'm going to say that Cody turns in the match of a lifetime against Kenny Omega at Supercard of Honor. Because I think they know what they're up against with Ciampa and Gargano and NXT and Aleister Black. And wait, damn, that could be the match of the weekend. Woo. Cian Almas and Aleister. Ooh, fuck, man. You know what? Fuck it. The NXT ladder match was the North American title.
I'm gonna go Gargano Ciampa, and that's kind of black and white. And it's one of those matches where it's like, is it too good to be true? Like, is the payoff gonna be and live up to the hype? The feud has been so good, and I think they're gonna deliver 5-star.
Dude, WrestleMania weekend is loaded with potentially phenomenal matches. Like Nakamura and AJ Styles could be the match of the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it really could. I don't know about the rest of WrestleMania. I mean, maybe, like, if Shane McMahon wasn't in the tag match, that could be the match of the weekend.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just murder Shane. It's like, yo, I get my laughs when I see Shane. Yo, I'm sorry, it was 2 weeks ago. But when Kevin Owens powerbombed Shane on that, whatever that was, and Shane was making those weird noises,
yeah.
I giggled my ass off. Because, why are you taking a bump on that? Like, that's like saying, hey, man, powerbomb me on a bed of spikes. Like, what's wrong with you?
Because that's what Shane does.
He stayed away from the business for that long to murder himself every time he shows up.
I like it. He's earning that share of the company.
Yeah. So, dude, it's a big weekend for wrestling. I really don't know. I'm just looking forward to at least one of them being a 5-star match.
Oh, yeah. We're getting one. Breakout star of the weekend. So, obviously, maybe someone who just shows up and steals the show.
I don't know.
You're the worst at this game. Remind me to never play Taboo or any other fun games with you.
I'm just saying.
Just throw it out there. Breakout star of the weekend. My breakout star of the weekend is Marty Scurll. I think it was the belt. I think we see Villain on top.
I don't know. Is that a breakout? Like, he's already like a big star.
No, but I mean, he's not one of the... He's not Kenny versus Kota. Or Kenny versus Cody. What do I keep doing?
I know you keep saying.
Yeah, but it's I think he's really propels himself to that. There's still another level. Like he's still in the mid tier of the Bullet Club. There's another level to this shit.
I haven't even looked, but what is Keith Lee and Walter doing that weekend?
Oh shit. That's a good question.
Like I feel like Walter could be the guy that everybody leaves WrestleMania weekend like, yo, this Walter guy, because not enough people have seen Walter wrestle.
No, and he's been around forever. If rumors are true that Keith Lee and Walter are the next two NXT signings, they've lost their damn mind.
I don't want them to go. Keith Lee said he's not going, but
yeah, I mean everyone says that shit.
Yeah, I know. I hope he's right. Like,
till Papa Paul Levesque comes a knocking, puts that contract under your face.
Again, too many guys. Anyway, we're not having that. We're not going down that rabbit hole again. But
I'm assuming Walter's in the Evolve cards.
I would think so. Like, I think that might be the breakout star of the weekend. That might be the guy that people are like, oh, I'm going to go to an indie show and see these guys wrestle I've never seen before, and everybody leaves talking about either Walter or Keith Lee.
Yeah. Matt Riddle is definitely one of mine, too. He was in consideration. Does he have his own card? Like, some weird backyard brawl type shit?
Yeah, he has some Thursday card.
Yeah, like, I feel like people will leave that and be like, yo.
It's really weird because, like, WrestleMania, like, me not going to WrestleMania, I was... At first, I was like, man, I'm not going to WrestleMania. Then I was like, I don't care. I'm not going to WrestleMania. As it gets a little closer, I don't really care as much about going to WrestleMania as seeing some of these other cards. Like, that's what I really
That's what I miss, yeah, the smaller shows. Because, damn, we go into like two or three a day. They have the midnight cards now.
Yeah, I can't do those.
What,
I
think Wrestle Circus Ellis, or some shit?
Yeah, they're at like midnight. And I'm like, yo, I got to draw the line somewhere. I love wrestling, but god damn.
Midnight to 3 a.m., Dre. We could have got it. Wake up the next day at like 9 for access?
Can't do it. Too much.
Living like young men around here. We're going to turn the hands back. Bring you back to your old South by Southwest days. Don't act like you slept back then.
Man. That's another story.
Take you back in the day. All right, before we get out of here, though, this is something we put together every year. It takes some damn time. But we do it every year, so we got to do it this year before we get off the show. Rebooking Mania. Last year, we had 7 matches. This year, I couldn't even narrow it down to 7 matches. We have to do 9 matches. So if we could book 9 matches with the current crop of talent, just main roster, what should the matches have been? So we're going to start with the 2 pre-show matches. And to preface this, we have every title outside of Cruiserweight title. I didn't even count that shit. I didn't even put it on main. So we have both tags, both women's, the 2 mid-card titles, and the 2 main titles. And then 1 non-title match. So it could be anything else that we want on the card. If we had to book it however we want. So let's go through. I'm booking mine as though the champions are still the champions, by the way. So not shifting belts around. Pre-show, SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Raw Tag Team Championships. Because I can't do the Usos to grind me again. So I would have the Club versus the Bar as my Raw, straight up Raw Tag Team Championship match, and I would have the Club winning.
Okay.
That's my first joint. Second, I would put the U.S. title match there. Randy Orton is the champion, so Randy Orton would have to be in that whack-ass match. But I would make it the 6-man ladder match that they've had in years past. So it'd be SmackDown, but I'd have all the current participants, Dolph Ziggler, and there was one other person that I wanted to have in there. And Ty Dillinger.
Damn, forgot about him.
Yeah, don't do it like that. Ty Dillinger has to be somewhere on my card. I'm a mark for the perfect 10. So he'd be in that match, so that'd be a 6-man ladder match. That'd be the pre-show closer. And then Raw Women's match, I would have Sasha versus Bayley versus Nia versus Alexa Bliss. It'd be a 4-way match because there'd be no battle royals in my booking. So those 4 would go at it, followed by SmackDown Women's match. I'd keep it exactly the same. IC title match. I like the booking on this, so I would also keep that the same. You know what? Yeah, because Seth is in it. Fuck it, right? So Seth has to do that. U.S. I did the U.S. already. Heavyweight title match. I like this a lot, but I would have it a triple threat with Kevin Owens. So it'd be Nakamura, Styles, and Owens in the match. Just all going at it. Maybe a no DQ stipulation. I think that'd be one hell of a match. Universal title match. Brock Lesnar is the champion, so his big ass would have to be in it. I would go Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, because that's just the way it trends. And I put John Cena in that match. I think those 3, if you want to go with the star power and Vince McMahon wet dream of it, I think that would be a good match. And then non-title match, which is odd, and I really had to think about this, and it's going to sound stupid and hokey, but I like stupid and hokey sometimes, and you need that on your card. I would bring back Taker, but I would have Taker versus Woken Matt Hardy buried alive match on the Hardy compound.
All right.
That's my Mania card.
I'm not. There's no order to this. I'm doing this on the fly, so I don't know the order of these matches. But here it is. Your main event would be AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe. Your co-main event for the Universal title would be Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman.
Oh, okay. Shit, I forgot Strowman.
Because Braun Strowman should be fighting for the title, and he should have never wrestled Brock any other time.
You damn right.
Your IC title would be The Miz versus Daniel Bryan, because that feud is built and has so much fire in it, and it only makes sense. Your U.S. title? Ooh, boy.
I didn't even put Daniel Bryan on my show. I forgot that he's cleared. It's God, all you bad.
You disrespected the god.
All bad.
The U.S. title, I'll come back to that, because I just can't get over the fact that Randy Orton's a champ. my match that would
I should have threw Sami Zayn in that six-man ladder match, too.
My match that would be a non-title match would be John Cena versus Roman Reigns, because they should have done this at WrestleMania instead of doing this at some bullshit pay-per-view. Who else? Who else am I missing?
That's fair.
You know what? I'm taking the title off of Randy Orton. I can't do
it. You can't book it. Because it makes no damn sense, man. It makes no damn sense.
It would be a ladder match with Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Bobby Roode. And then we're going to mix it up because we're going to also throw Seth Rollins in there as well with Finn Balor for the U.S. title in a ladder match. I know. People are like, yo, you're just throwing people in anywhere. Yeah, yes, I am.
Throw a six person somewhere in there. Might as well. Give it the traditional choice.
I'm keeping Asuka versus Charlotte. I was tempted to do Asuka versus Sasha, but I feel like we'll get that anyway. Asuka versus Charlotte makes a ton of sense. The tag match, I would prefer, because there are so many matches on the card. Like, if Cesaro and Sheamus are your champs, and let's just say, I know the Usos are getting done dirty, but I'm doing them dirty again. Like, Cesaro and Sheamus are the champions, and the Bludgeon Brothers took the titles off of the Usos, and the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Bar will be your pre-show. There you go. There's your pre-show match at WrestleMania.
Okay. Like champs versus champs. To combine one match to give you space for another one.
To give me some room, please.
that's not a bad way to go.
I don't know who I'm missing. I don't care. Like Ronda Rousey, Triple H.
Yeah, Ronda is not on there.
Keeping them off the card.
I'd have Ronda just do a celeb spot. Elias, by the way, gets my celeb. I'm taking an ass whooping by the old timers. So Elias does get his spot. He doesn't get a match, but he comes out. He cuts one hell of a promo with a song on the guitar and takes a Stone Cold Stunner or something wild. I don't know. You pick the guy.
You know what I'm going to pick? I'm just going to put this out there. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wonder how the crowd will react. Elias is playing his guitar, and Hulk Hogan comes and murders him.
Oh, shit.
The racist comes and... Like, cause if Elias has enough heat and Hulk Hogan comes back, the crowd's going to pop.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to pop for him anyway.
Probably will. They'll be like, you're a racist, but so is Vince. So we can get over it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't even know what else I'm missing. But
I think that's everyone. I mean, there's once again, it shows you how much talent they have.
You know what?
And how squandered it is.
For the fun of it all.
And I think you had a random match still open.
Let me pull Finn Balor out of that U.S. title match. And let me one-up you on your Woken Matt Hardy. So we have the Woken Matt Hardy versus the Demon versus the Dead Man versus Bray Wyatt on the Hardy compound.
You gotta be on a pre-show. Because we need an hour for that. Like, no time limits.
Yeah, so we just have like the mystical magical match with some just ultra weird shit. And then like the Boogeyman shows up or some shit. it's a total gimmick match.
Yeah,
but
there's nothing wrong with that. And then Raw Women's title is the only one you didn't do. Oh, no, did you say Sasha?
Oh, yeah. You know, Raw Women's title would be Sasha versus Bayley.
Yeah.
Like, I get they're doing what they're doing with Alexa and Nia, and that's a storyline that makes sense to me, but the Raw Women's title should be Sasha versus Bayley and redoing that whole
thing. That might have stolen the show.
Yeah. That's a big match, especially with
that was Sasha Bayley 3 for the women's title. That shit might have stolen the show.
That would have been smart booking, but, you know.
You know. It's how they rock. All right, so we booked everything out. That is our pre-mania show. Man, and now comes the hard part, and that's next week and getting all this information into one show next week. So we enjoyed you guys talking today. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Can't wait until we talk to you next week. If you have stuff that you want us to answer, booking stuff, anything you want us to talk about on next week's show, make sure you tweet us on social media. Me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale, or the show at The Corner LSN on all platforms. Let us know what you guys want us to talk about, because it's going to be a long-ass show anyway. Might as well give you guys what you want to listen to. Outside of that, though, damn. So our show for today came a little bit later in the week. Hope you guys enjoy. Relax this weekend, because there's a shit ton of stuff for next weekend. And listen, man, I might go full old man Andreas. I might go to brunch. I might get a pedicure and shit. I might just full spa day. Eucalyptus wrap. Just make sure I'm well rested for next week, because it's going down. Outside of that, Dre, we're out.
Peace.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.